Well, when it comes to not getting turned down on a worship team, the thing that we need to know the most is unfortunately the thing that we're usually not very good at. So let's get better. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome back to the program. My name is Stephen Reed, and I am part of the team here at Music and Ministry. And we've got such a full show today that I'm just going to say, hey, if you want to know more about us, head on over to musicandministry.co, where you can look at our different books and resources, videos and articles and all the different things that we have done and do. And we are going to continue on our series here, our episodal thing that we're doing of trying to help you not get turned down or turned off at your soundboard. And that's unfortunately the norm at most churches here in America and the rest of the world, the parts that I've been to at least, where people are up there playing out their, you know, just giving their all to the Lord, and yet they're off at the soundboard and we in the audience cannot hear what it is that we see. And it happens at big churches, it happens at small churches. And so I feel like the Lord showed me a lot of reasons why that is. And I've worked with hundreds of teams as an on-site consultant. And so I'm trying to share these in a way that makes sense, but I'm also trying to, you know, not overwhelm you at one time. So we're kind of building this episode at a time. And so we're kind of also hoping that you've watched the previous episodes, so that way you know what I'm talking about. So if there's anything that I say that you're like, Steve, what now? Hopefully that means that I covered it in a previous episode and you should go back and take a listen, because I think it's been good. And so how to not get turned down is really about playing the right part at the right time at the right sound. And so how do you know what those things are, and what will prevent you from getting to know those are the six things that we have talked about, and we'll keep mentioning them over and over again, even though you might be sick of hearing them by now. But it's a big deal. All six of them cause a lot of problems, and we need to fix the problem at its source. Otherwise, we're just going to be band-aiding and packaging things, trying to make it not happen when we could just, you know, initially get it cleaned up. So those are, just in quick review, is going to be pride. Number two is going to be ignorance. Number three is going to be bad systems. Number four is deception. Number five is going to be a current inability. And number six is then an unwillingness. And so we've talked a lot about how those interact with each other, but we spent a lot of time here at the beginning talking about bad systems, because bad systems are anything that cause a good musician to make a bad choice. Or in our case, they would cause somebody who could play the right part at the right time with the right sound, but yet they don't do that. Why are they not doing that? Well, it's not that they couldn't or don't know how. It's they think that they're doing the right thing, but it's not the right thing. Oh, okay, that means that we've had a bad system. In our first episode, we talked about, okay, why do most people sing off pitch? And that's because usually their monitor mix is bad. It's not because they can't do it. It's because they're involved in a bad system. If you fix the system, you'll fix the part without having to do any other work. We also talked about how the bass player often gets cut off at the bottom because they're playing too much rhythm. And we've talked about why that is, and part of it is something we're going to dive further deep in today, which is going from our stereo to our mono conversion. All right, and I'm saying these terms and, again, just hoping that you'll go back. And today we're going to go a little further into this one specifically. We also talked about how when you get scheduled to be on the worship team, this is what you get handed. Is that a good system or not a good system? How do we choose what it is that we're playing? What gear are we bringing? Then when everybody comes, how are we monitoring? How important that moment is? Because even if you made a ton of mistakes all the way leading up to that moment, if you at that moment don't have the right people in place or don't have the right monitoring system in place, then it's left up to the sound person. They're going to do the best that they can. And then at some point, the only answer is, I just need to turn people down. Wanted to get all the way through that whole idea, because last week we talked about, okay, the importance of these people. And so as we come then back around to some of the ideas that I've kept saying, hey, I'd like to spend more time here, but we need to move on. We're going to actually take some moments and go back to one of those closets that I talked about and said, hey, this is, you know, a junk drawer in the life of your ministry. You should probably take a look at that at some point. And then we closed the door and we moved on to where the next junk drawer is and said, hey, let's close that door and move on. So today we're actually going to come back and kind of clean out one of those junk drawers. And just as a side note, the closet that I mentioned in one of the episodes is right here behind me to the right. We actually went and cleaned out. And so now it's every time I open it up, I'm just, it's like a breath of fresh air. I mean, not literally, but it's just like, wow, look at that clean and organized thing. So much better than it used to be. That's what we're going to do today in the area of kind of choosing what it is that we play. All right, so here we go. So as we start trying to figure out, okay, what is it that I'm supposed to play? There's a lot of things that are involved in that. And one of the things that is really important is going to be, what's your methodology as a church, or who do you want to be? Some churches want to be like an exact replica of what they hear on the recording. Like, they don't want to be like Hillsong or Elevation. They want to be Hillsong or Elevation. And they're basically just, man, whatever I can do. And so some people will even go as far as using multi-tracks, in the sense of they're actually playing the music from that church and then putting it on top of their own players. And so that's fine. But from a reorchestration standpoint, that's going to be rough, because you're going to have to, as a musician, play exactly what that person played on the recording, but you're not going to have that equipment. You're not going to be able to do it because of all of the things that we've covered before, as far as our human inabilities to play as good as a machine. And so what often happens in that scenario is people get turned down, and that's just part of the nature of it. And so not everybody wants to hear this or knows this about it, but if you're using multi-tracks in a live setting, guaranteed that means that two or more people on your worship team are getting turned down, right? Because of the things we're going to cover today, that stereo to mono conversion, and just the nature of, you're not going to do it as well as these other things. It's usually machines up and people down. And truth and love, again, something to think about. All right, so from that is kind of the next step over. And if I were to give you a visual example of that, the first one would be like a copy machine, in the sense of, you know, you go and you push the button and it scans it in and it spits out something that looks exactly like that. And you could maybe think, well, that's an insult, Steve. I don't want to be a copy machine. But there are a lot of things that we value really highly about copy machines, and they're expensive, and because it makes an exact replica. And there are cover bands and that will go and will try to be just like them. They dress like them, they try to look like them, and yet people come to their concert because they're able to replicate perfectly, all right? And that's the whole idea of the multi-track thing, is that you're trying to replicate perfectly, all right? So the next step over would be then like a camera, where, you know, you're basically just push and click, right? You're trying to do it like they did it, but you have a little bit of a different angle on it. And photography isn't difficult in the sense of like clicking, moving your finger and pushing the button. It's all about knowing your settings and then kind of like finding where it looks the best. And so you're reframing things. And so a lot of churches will be like, yeah, we want to sound like that. We're not wanting to go so far as to actually use multi-tracks and be replicating in that way. But we would like to, with our people, sound as much like that. And so depending on how willing you are to do that, do you want to have 5 keyboards? Do you want to have 6 guitar players? And the answer for almost every church is no. Even if we did have that many people, which at many of the churches here in Nashville, we have that many keyboard players, that many guitar players, but yet nobody does it because it would take a lot of effort and they're unwilling to do it. All right, so that it would be a photographer. From the next step over, then it kind of gets into this area where, well, we like something about that song, and sure, it, you know, we don't want to do what it takes to get that, or maybe we don't like that. Maybe it's too synth forward for our congregation, but we like the lyrics, we like the melody. It seems like it would work in our church. And so then you are completely reorchestrating it for another set of instruments, or putting it in another style. And so it would kind of be like a painting. And so if you've ever looked at many of the famous paintings in the world, there are some that are very accurate, and then there's some that are like Monet, that would be like impressionist, where it's like, yeah, I can kind of get what it is that you're saying there. It, you know, yeah, it's a tree and a pond, but if you were to then take a photograph and put that next to that, it wouldn't be exactly like that, but yet it's still beautiful and people pay millions of dollars for it and all that kind of stuff. So where are you at in your ministry as far as that goes? And then when you get to the next stage, it's going to be, okay, well, we don't want to just like replicate in the sense of like making it our own and redoing it. We want to add something, all right? And so now we're kind of like painting, or we're imagining something in our brain and then painting it. Well, okay, how are we going to do that? What if we had a flute and a violin player, or we've got some other instrument that isn't as normal? Accordion, maybe. There's been churches I know that do that. You got to then figure out and write new things. Who's going to be doing that? Well, sometimes it's that person. And if they're just doing it on their own, is that a good system? Is that not a bad system? And most of the churches I've been to where that's happening, those people get turned off on a regular basis, don't know it, but yet they just, sound person's like, nope, doesn't work. And then as soon as the part comes where everybody would know that, hey, I'm turning them down, they turn them back up. And then as soon as that part's done, they get turned back down again. And if that's what you want to do, then go for it. As long as that person knows, hey, you're just up there and we're turning you off until these moments, and they're okay with it, then great. I, however, have been a part of groups where I didn't know that that was happening to me and I wouldn't have been okay with it. Or if you're just like, well, let's figure out some way that it would work and so nobody has to get turned off, that's kind of what we're talking about here today. So where in that spectrum do you fall in your ministry? It involves a different amount of skills, different type of skills, and really providing information for people in order to have success. So as we then jump into, okay, let's look at what we would need to do to make that happen, we also have to keep in mind those system issues, which are going to be, and we've talked a lot about in two episodes ago, which is going to be doing your orchestration for humans, meaning there are some things that we just cannot do as in our human nature, that even the best of us are not as good as machines, and so we can't play rhythm exactly, and so if we can't do that, then we have to then reorchestrate for our humanity. And then also the big thing is that we then have to make sure that we're adapting for our environment. As we then start to figure out, okay, we got to do all these adjustments based on our preferences, we have to do our adjustments based on our humanity and the fact that, or to match whatever system it is that we're using, well, then we need to get good at this. And unfortunately, most people have had zero training in how to orchestrate or how to reorchestrate. And if even if you have a music degree, the orchestration class is like one semester, usually in your senior year, and you kind of reorchestrate some Bach piece to be for full orchestra or something. Well, that doesn't do us a lot of good here in our modern worship instrumentation. And so the people that are good at that are the producers that I was talking about. And that's why churches hire them to come and make their albums for them, because they don't know what to play and how that's all going to work and come together, right? And so again, even in knowing all those things, it's all then meticulously fixed. So I myself am that person, and I do that for our group and many other groups. And so when I do on-site training, that's what I go and I say, hey, let's reorchestrate that. And I'm trying to teach them the principles of, this is what you play, this is what you don't play. All right, you're out here, you're in there, you know, think about these things. So today I'm gonna dive into this multi-track, and we're going to start how most people start, which is you get an email or text and it says, hey, you've been scheduled. Here is the chord chart, here's the keys that it's gonna be in, and then here's a either recording or YouTube multi-track or something like that, and figure it out. So let's jump on over. We're gonna go to multitracks.com. We're gonna listen to a very famous song. I'll walk you through what it is, and we're going to play this fun game that I like to do and would encourage you to do in your sound system in your room, is can we hear what's happening? All right, we'll see you in there in just a minute. All right, so if you go over to multitracks.com or you search for Beautiful Name, What a Beautiful Name, and multitracks, it'll take you to this site. You then click on the multitrack button here, and it will allow you to come and see this preview. And so if you click on this button, it'll load up all the tracks, and I've done all of that ahead of time. But what we can see are all the things that are on the recording. And so first thing will just be like, this is the master track, meaning like everything together. This is the click track, the little metronome that they were all playing to, a dynamic guide who would be doing what an MD would be doing for the most part, as far as just saying like, hey, we're going to the chorus, to the bridge, or whatever would happen to be. Now on this one, and it's interesting, they'll have the drums and it has a little quotations, which means it says live. And that means that this part is actually live. And as I've said over and over again, that 90% of recordings are gonna be not recorded the night of. The only thing that usually ever makes it, if anything makes it at all, is going to be the drums. Just because there's something about it that it fills the room. And when we listen to it, you'll be able to hear it, but most of the time, even those aren't live, and they go back and they fix things. All right, we've got percussion, which will basically be tambourine, effects, which are kind of fun and funny, bass, that synth bass that we were talking about before, the acoustic guitar, and then look at how many electric guitars. We have four at least. We then have the piano, we then have keys one and two, and then we have a full string section, and then the background vocals, which this would be like six or seven vocals, if not more. And then because it's a multi-track, they don't give you the lead vocal, so you kind of have just to leave that in there. So what we can do is go through and mute these things and solo these things to be able to hear what each one of them is doing. So we don't necessarily need to listen to the click track or the dynamic guide. So let's just push play here and we will start to listen through what each person's doing. And then just as a preface, this is going to say multitracks.com more times than you would like to hear, but it's free and you can go and listen. And of all the reasons why you would use multitracks, this is definitely the best one because it gives you this amazing insight into what it is that's happening on these recordings that we all love so much. So here we go. So let's listen to drums live.
Multitracks.com.
And they're doing a good job of kind of taking out the other sound noises, so it must be inside of a cage of some sort. But that's what the drums are playing. Here's the percussion. Just a simple tambourine.
Multitracks.com.
Effects will happen here in a moment.
Multitracks.com.
The sound of a mighty rushing wind. You may have not even known that was in there, need that to be in there, but it's definitely in there. All right, here's the bass. Slightly distorted, like we talked about in a previous episode. And here's that synth bass, which is the same part, it's the same instrument as the bass. It's just being run through a synthesizer of some sort. All right, here's the acoustic guitar. And this is definitely not live because who's plugged in acoustic guitar sounds that good? The answer is no one's. So recorded later. And yeah, and so there's maybe two guitars here happening, but sounds good. All right, here's electric one. Kind of high arpeggiated thing going on. More mid-range driving thing. Kind of more of a high ambient distorted thing. And this is playing very similar to what Guitar 2 is playing. So what would happen most of the time is that this would be on the left and this one would be on the right and they balance each other out. But again, in our mono world, that won't make a difference. Here's the piano. Pretty simple. Who, as a piano player, plays like this? Not very many people. All right, here's the keys one. Just your standard lush pad going on. Keys two.
Multitracks.com.
Following the same progression, but just with the arpeggiator. A lot of rhythm in there. All right, so let's go to our string section.
Multitracks.com.
Not doing anything fancy, but they're in there. It's very pretty. Sounds so good. Now this is like three or four strings, and this is definitely recorded in a studio later or was recorded beforehand. And then here's the background vocals. And definitely recorded later because you would be able to hear the bleed off the microphones. And it's been pitch corrected and all the things that we as humans can't do naturally. I mean, there are some people who have good pitch. All right, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn all of this back on. And then I'm going to go through and I'm going to start turning stuff off. And you're going to try and see if you can hear it. And because I'm forcing mono here instead of stereo, there's going to be quite a few things that you're just going to be like, nope, can't tell a difference. And if we can't tell a difference from our stereo to our mono environment, then we don't need to worry about it. And if we then decide, well, we're going to put them in the multitrack anyway and play along with it, then it's going to make it to where there's too much sound happening. And so then that's where the humans are going to start getting turned down, because it's not going to sound quite as right or as good as the recording. So the more that we're trying to stuff things into our limited mono environment, the more people that are going to get turned down. And fortunately, that happens a lot. All right, so here we go. Let me turn this.
Multitracks.com.
All right. So the easiest thing is going to be anything that has, like, our effects, that's very easy to turn off. You wouldn't be able to tell the difference. Acoustic guitar, all right, here we go. We're gonna turn it off.
Multitracks.com.
So we're gonna turn it off. Turn it back on.
Multitracks.com.
Turn it off. Turn it on. And you can't hear the difference. So let's just leave it up. All right, we'll also see the piano here. Let's turn the piano off. Turn the piano on.
Multitracks.com.
Can't tell any difference at all. Which, as a side note, those are two of the main people. And so in our group, we just turned off, these are people, and said, hey, you're on the team, but you're not actually on the team. Something to think about. All right, keep going.
Multitracks.com.
So let's turn off the percussion. All right, I've soloed it. It's back in. Off. Can't tell a difference. All right, so I'm gonna turn off the synth bass.
Multitracks.com.
Maybe a difference, maybe not. Depends on what system you're using as well. Can't hear it at all. All right, let's turn those strings on and off. Nope.
Multitracks.com.
Well, we just eliminated like seven people. Can't hear them at all. All right, let's turn off this keys too. Maybe a little different. Put the background vocals back in.
Multitracks.com.
All right, so then let's turn off one of these electric parts here.
Multitracks.com.
Kind of hear it a little bit, but it doesn't sound bad. All right, so thus far we got drums, we got bass, and if we turned off the bass, you can tell.
Right,
that low end part goes away. And obviously, if we turn the drums off, you can tell that the drums are gone. And at this point, we can turn this electric guitar off, and you don't even miss it.
Multitracks.com.
That one you can kind of hear. But this one's a little annoying.
Multitracks.com.
And they're basically playing the same part. So maybe we keep that one and we turn that one off. Yeah, this one's better. And we've got keys one. Let's see if we can hear that. Yep, we can hear that one. All right, so we just went from having 17 or 15 different categories, of which then those are multiple people in some of those, to where we have 1, 2, 3, and you can't hear this one right at this moment. So this person could theoretically be playing the beginning of this part and then switch sounds and come to this part. So let's just say one electric guitar player, we've got one keyboard player playing a pad, and then we've got our background vocals. All right. So if I was then deciding, okay, who am I gonna assign? I'm gonna say, I'm gonna have a drummer, I'm gonna have a bass player, I'm gonna have one electric player, and then I'm gonna have a keyboard player playing pad, and then I'm gonna have my background vocals, maybe, you know, 3 or 4 background vocals, whoever it would happen to be. And obviously we're missing our main singer. So if some of you are thinking, like, listening real hard and be like, oh no, I can tell the difference, like, throw in the fact that there's a lead singer, and then throw in the fact that it's going to be live and it's a little bit of different mix, and this would pretty much cover, and I think most churches would be pretty excited if their group sounded anywhere near like this. So once you have it in this place where you're like, okay, I just took it from all of these people down to these are the people that can actually be heard in my mono environment, you then need to help those people know how to learn how to play that part. And there are several services that you can subscribe to. I've subscribed to one for a while called worshipartistry.com, and they will do exactly what I just did and take all of those tracks and say, okay, what would your average worship team be able to do to play this? And so then they will show you on videos how to play it. They will walk you through it. They will also have all the music written out in either tablature or in sheet music. They usually have the background vocalists, and they'll tell you, hey, this is what they're doing on the recording. Now, if you do what they show you to do, and again, I would encourage you to do it because it's a great resource to get you closer, But if you do what they show you to do, people are still going to get turned down because they have not made that next level of conversion, which is going to be orchestrating for the different notes that are being duplicated and orchestrating for our humanity, which means that we all can't play rhythm perfectly like a machine. And so if you play it like they play it, you're still going to have problems. You're going to have to get to the next stage of things, but you're at least getting closer. All right. So hopefully that's a fun game, and I would encourage you to go and do that on all of the different songs that you're doing. Listen to the recording and be like, and then put yourself in a mono environment and say, can I hear it? Can I not hear it? Can I hear it? Can I not hear it? And you'll start to realize how big that conversion is. And like I said before, if you're throwing all of that in the mix, that means that there's too much happening and people are going to get turned down. And I will say it, and I'll say it again, and I'll say it again. Almost every church is struggling because they have too much sound in some areas and not enough of others. And so that's that whole reorchestration thing that we're talking about, knowing how to do that, how to change that, how to make it happen for the groups that you have. It's not something that's easy, so you got to spend a lot of time diving into that and then creating an environment where you can tell whether or not that's actually working in reality. All right, that's a lot for today, but you got homework. Go and do that in your sound system with your team and be like, can you hear it? Can you not hear it? Hey, if you want to do a mix rehearsal with your stuff and then put it in and turn it on, turn it off, that might be a little bit more than people necessarily want to do right at the beginning. But you gotta orientate yourself to that reality that we've been talking so much about, and it will help you make good decisions. All right, till next time.